Next, we're going to hear from Dr. Carla Pugh. And Dr. Pugh is a professor of surgery at Stanford University School of Medicine. She's the director of the Technology-Enabled Clinical Improvement Center there. She has been very interested in using technology to change the face of medical and surgical education, and she does research in simulation and engineering technologies to develop new approaches for assessing clinical procedural skills. She has several patents and awards. She's been recognized by the Presidential Early Career Award for Scientists and Engineers, and actually received her award from President Obama at the White House. She's given a TED-Med talk on the uses of technology and has been inducted into the American Institute for Medical and Biological Engineering. So we're very lucky to hear from Dr. Pugh today about system changes for improving workflow and patient care.
Thank you for the opportunity to share some of my findings and thoughts regarding system changes to improve workflow. I have no disclosures that are relevant to this presentation. When we think about patient care and the workflow that we engage in, there are multiple systems and multiple opportunities for a specific workflow, whether we're dealing with laboratories, prescriptions, the hospital as a whole, the clinic, billing and insurance, obviously a complex system with multiple components. And drilling down to how we communicate in that system then brings all of the personnel and people that we tend to work with, whether it's our patients and their family, other physicians, the nurses, and it is definitely a multi-step process that can be circular at times and have multiple pathways where we as the physician have to have some ability to be forward-thinking and proactive in terms of preventing some of the mistakes that could happen along the way. More specific to our workflow, when you look at what we do, it's really described as a combination of interrupted processes. Whether you are in the process of reviewing information to get background on your patient and their prior treatments, or whether you're actually examining the patient, the laboratory values, and trying to come up with specific for us as surgeons, whether they are a candidate for an operation, what are their risk factors. This is a multi-step process that is part of our workflow, again, where there's multiple opportunities to engage in different systems and with different people. And then completing that information and documenting that in the medical record is also an interrupted and multi-step process. In the end, it's clear that we all desire to spend more time taking care of our patients than in the other parts of this interrupted process. Again, whether it's our billing, charting, scheduling, medications, credentialing, administration, when we think about the system as a whole, most of the research and the work that has been done in terms of trying to understand where there are opportunities to improve have been with the EHR. It has been cited as a major source of stress and a major interrupted process, if you will, in our workflow. And historically, when you look at some of the challenges that we face now, and I say this especially for some of the younger physicians in the audience, most of the hospital systems independently had technology developed from a pencil and paper system or lack thereof into an individual computer-based system. And then the bigger issue that we face right now is really interoperability of those systems. Many of us use Epic or some of the other larger systems that have tried to group these information sources together, but obviously because they were developed at different times, many times by different companies that were then bought out and meshed together, interoperability remains the biggest issue in terms of these interrupted workflow that we have when trying to use this system in the process of care. In developing the current EHR that we use, what's often quoted as the missing link is a communication system that facilitates the relationship between the doctor and the patient. There is not really a system that's perfect for that relationship. The other one that's missing is really doctor-to-doctor communication. And how do we work with our colleagues? How do we work with our patients? How do we work with the nurses? And there are some newer systems that are coming out, but again, we're faced with the same scenario and potential issues with interoperability. As industry tries to partner with us to address these issues, they're many times new and different companies, and then we're faced with trying to mesh that together within the system that we currently have. When we look at how we categorize some of the challenges, it's clear that our workflow was an afterthought. It was not something that was part of the original systems that were being ported into the EHR. And I think what we're left is really a critical need to define and quantify our workflow. You can't fix what you can't measure. And I think as much as we try to explain our experiences on the front lines, taking care of patients, the amount of time that it takes to communicate with our colleagues and our patients, we don't have data. So how do we fix it? And how do we really be heard in this process? One of the things is obviously unifying the data into one interoperable system. And when we talk about disruptive flow specifically to the EHR, another factor is that we go back and forth between the EHR and analytic reports that are not within the EHR as we try to pull information together. So there are groups that are out there sort of defining this work. And when you look at some of the folks that are wanting to get in healthcare, such as Google, HP, Ventures, and many of these new groups that are looking at healthcare and looking at healthcare data, these are some of the things that they're interested in. Where does the data sit? How does it disrupt our workflow? And what are we doing to try and piece all of those information sources together? And is there an opportunity to facilitate this process? Again, difficulties in leveraging the information needed for our patients, and a lot of roadblocks even when a patient goes to multiple health systems that then use a different medical record trying to communicate. I think we all understand these problems. I think still defining them more prescriptively will then help other groups work with us to come up with a solution. I think there's interesting data out there in terms of the time analysis many of us are definitely aware of. On average, if in clinic, if you spend 16 and a half minutes with face-to-face interaction time with your patient, which is actually a lot of time, you spend more time than that within the medical record, pulling information together, documenting what that experience was and what you found. And this is uneven. And I think that when you look at what we talk about as physician stress and this interrupted process, it's not that we're really busy per se in terms of taking care of the patients. It's more that we're not spending time doing actual care. And that formula is what's led to what some are calling physician burnout or a disruptive, interrupted process. I think when you look at how do you solve this, it's a continuous process. We're going to continue to digitize more data, new companies, new systems, and then there's always going to be this continuous process of trying to bring everything together. What is the minimum requirements in terms of what's going to be our workflow, even in the most perfect scenario? We are still going to have to manage reporting requirements. And I think if we think about this up front, then we need to be frontline and center when the decisions are being made. What is the minimum reporting requirements, both for patient safety, for billing, all of these issues? This is always going to be something that we have to manage because this is the oversight of the system, and we need to be more involved in this. Similarly, in terms of navigating various platforms that coordinate care, again, new technology, even at the point of care, pulse ox systems, other things that monitor and collect data at the point of care don't always get automatically ported into the system. And so there are desperate different sources of data that we still need to access to coordinate care, and being part of that process as the technology is being developed and making sure that there is accountability and responsibility to trying to get the data together in one place so that we don't have this interrupted process. Again, this is something that we have to partner and find ways to collaborate with industry. They are pushing the envelope on these data sources that are not connected and not interoperable, and we need to be there at the table when they're doing that. Alerts and notifications. This is something that's constant. It is meant to help us, but obviously there are times when it's pretty frustrating and it's overwhelming, and it's not always accomplishing the original goal in terms of helping us from a patient safety and a prevention standpoint. It becomes something that we get alert overload, and you begin to ignore it, and it begins to be frustrating and contributes to the problem more than it helps. And I think that we have to be involved. These are going to be, at least as pointed out in the literature, the three areas that are going to continue to evolve, and we've got to partner outside of our daily practice with industry, with technology that are developing, groups that are developing new technologies, and those that are in sort of the artificial intelligence and information management space. These are going to be some of the new areas that we need to stay involved so that we can maintain some efficiency or promote efficiency across these systems as the technology continues to advance. Some of the solutions, Dr. Ashley presented to us the Center for Professionalism and Peer Support, and Tramila Desanaki presented to us some of the, just being aware of some of the frustrations and stresses that you have. So there are lots of research in both of these areas and training that's available and peer support that's available. When you look at this research that done by Shanafelt, Tate Shanafelt and their team at Mayo Clinic, they called it the Physician Organization Collaboration. And what they looked at, it was a qualitative study and looking at physicians partnering with the healthcare system. I'll give you the conclusions first, because it was interesting to see these three areas for me in one place in a paper that describe what we experience in this disruptive process is that we really have a lack of control. We don't get lunch. There's no planning for that. We don't get scrubbed out in the OR for lunch. We don't have set hours. And so in terms of the disruptive process, we have pretty much, we are the ones within the healthcare system that have the most lack of control from a scheduling standpoint. In terms of camaraderie and social connectedness, you're kind of isolated, and Shamila talked about that. When things happen, and again, specifically using the example of an unexpected event in the operating room or a complication, when that happens, we are then tasked with spending time with patient relations and ethics and patient management, supporting the patient, reviewing for the team how things happen, and there often is not a team or some connectedness that work with us on an individual basis outside of some of these new programs. And this is something that's required in other industries. And this is one that I really like, an opportunity for excellence, being part of something meaningful. This is a system that's more and more being something that we're putting into. We all went into it because we wanted to partner with our patients and to be part of a healing process, but it's becoming more and more that there's not feedback to us. M&M is fantastic. It helps us review and learn from others' mistakes and ours, but where's the balance to that where you get to go over a case that went well, an excellent case, a difficult case where everything went well, and you get to learn from someone else what went well and how they coordinated that and also share from your colleagues. We are now extremely imbalanced from that process in terms of being something that's meaningful and talked about in a collaborative fashion. Again, they were able to do this study, and I'll get to the details of the study. I was, again, really excited about the results. But it promotes engagement, and then this reduces what we're calling physician burnout. Going through what they did was establish organization-level and physician-level relationships, and they developed, partnered with the organization to develop physician leaders, and this was their physician engagement model. Specifically, they developed this process of listen, act, and develop, and this was an integrated strategy of how physicians and the hospital leaders work together under this model. And it engaged the physicians in the mission of the organization, and within that structure, then you had an opportunity to share what your experience is like as you go through your workflow and that process. It allowed a pathway for increasing physician satisfaction and meaning in the work process, and it also improved organizational effectiveness. And I think just the framework of this model with some of the other things that we've heard gives a structure and gives you an opportunity to if you're not doing this in your own hospital, how to engage with the leadership. I think in conclusion, there are multiple parts that were developed in a asynchronous fashion, and regardless of where we are now in terms of pulling that together, it's going to continue to grow. There's going to be more technology, and we can't sit back and wait for it all to come together because it's going to continue to evolve. This is a system that is purposefully being disrupted for the better good, but we have to help define that process. Again, partnering across the lines in terms of physician leadership, those who make the laws and the rules outside of the hospital, we all have to come together and find a way to partner on this because this is a process that's going to continue to grow. Thank you.